I bring you greetings from the Church of South India. Church of South India is spread in the south, four states, and we have nearly 4 million believers, and we have 22 dioceses, and as I said, Nandyal is one of the 22 dioceses. The Church of South India is made up of Anglicans, Methodists, Presbyterians, and the Congregationals. And it has been said after the Pentecost, this is the greatest miracle in the church where such a great unity has taken place. And it is also a uniting church, not only just the United Church, but a uniting church where there are negotiations with the Church of North India, the Marthama Church, Lutheran Church, so that there will be one church in India. When that happens, there may be more than 10 million believers in one church. So we are looking forward to that, and we are very happy also to say that our church has youth like what we see in this church this evening. And young people are in ministry, young people are evangelists, young people are teachers, and young people are in the church. And I bring greetings from those young people to you. And it is really good to be here with you, and also to be part of your continuing meditations on Ecclesiastes. And today we have chapter 9. As a general introduction, I think Ecclesiastes, the writer, is struggling like you and me with the realities of life. In fact, Jonathan, introducing the books, has already given an introduction to those realities, like why people suffer, natural calamities. Why good people? Why bad things happen to good people? Or why good things happen to bad people? And throughout, he struggles with the realities of life. All is vanity. The same thing that happened before happens now, and it is a cycle. And so many questions are raised and struggle with, and this is something which we all struggle on a daily basis. And in chapter 9, the question he raises and struggles with and reflects on is death itself. And he speaks about how death comes to all. Good people, bad people, righteous people, wicked people, those who swear, they don't swear. Everyone. We all have to face death. And death, how sudden it is sometimes. And evil times come. And natural calamities. We have heard of and prayed for Haiti, people of Haiti and Chile. And just before I left, in one of the Indian towns, there was a big stampede. You wouldn't believe for what. A man has announced that people will get a steel plate and a laddu and 20 rupees, which everything is just less than a pound. And for that, thousands of people gathered. When the gates opened, there was stampede, and more than 60 to 70 young children died. Why do these things happen? And all of a sudden. In fact, this is my own struggle. And I share this with my people. And every morning when I go out, I say this prayer. And I say this with all sincerity. I say, I am earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And when I say this, my wife always scolds me, saying, you are very pessimistic, negative. I said, no, it is just reality. Because in our diocese, as I said, it is a rural diocese, we have to cover nearly 400 square meters. And in my vehicle, we have already logged about 200,000 kilometers, which means daily we are on those roads, narrow roads, heavy traffic. And every time, even this morning, yesterday morning when I was coming to the airport, we saw an accident. Every time we are on the road, we see an accident, people dying. It could be our vehicle and it could be me. So, just be prepared for death, because it is a reality. It would come any time. And unfortunately, in Indian society, culture, people are very sentimental. They don't want to talk about that, because it is superstitious, and therefore they only want to look at the brighter side of life. They don't want to look at death. I think this passage is very useful and important to reflect on, because we have to face death. And also the writer says, very interestingly, in verse 'Anyway, this is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. It's almost like Paul saying, the wages of sin is death. It is everyone. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourselves. It has been said, between sane and insane, is just a thin line. You could be just mad. A heart is full of sin. And the wages of sin is death. And we live with death all the time. And the challenge that the writer gives to us is in the following verse, when he says, anyone who is among the living has hope. Anyone who is among the living has hope. In fact, he is affirming that life is stronger than death. So we appreciate life more when we reflect and struggle with the reality of death. In fact, when I was in Jamaica as a missionary for about 10 years, from 1990 to 2000, one of the cultural shocks I had was facing death. Very interesting thing about the culture there is, when a person dies, immediately the funeral home takes the body, and there is a tent near the house. There's drinks, there's music, there's dancing, people celebrate. And we never had that kind of an experience. And then they celebrate as long as they could. And when the right time comes, they bring the body and bury. And at that time, it's also a big fashion parade. People go for hairdressing, and then it's a celebration. And they say they celebrate life and the life of the person. So, again, affirming, life is stronger than death. When we reflect on it, struggle with it, and have it in right perspective, we begin to appreciate life. And how do we live this hope? Wherever there is life, there is hope. And then the writer begins by saying, chapter 9, verse 1, so I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. Everyone is in God's hands. Especially the righteous, the good. And what we do is in God's hands. And what follows is very interesting. He says, but no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. We are in the hands of God. But we do not know whether love or hate awaits. And isn't it true in the life of Jesus? Jesus was Son of God. Sometimes people loved him, and immediately they changed, and they hated him, and they crucified him. The same people who said, Hosanna, are the same people who also said, crucify him. We do not know when love comes, when hate comes, but everything is in the hands of God. And even as a bishop, I can say that people love you, but we do not know when they turn and say, and they hate you. And the other day we are in a meeting. I thought people all love me, but at that meeting I found that people all turned against me because we were trying to build a church in a place where some people were playing, and they all protested against me, and they were almost shouting slogans against me. And I was shocked. We do not know. Everything is in the hands of God. But in and through that we know God reigns and we are in the hands of God. And when we put ourselves in the hands of God, and we also know from the New Testament, from the words of Jesus, it is not only in this life, but we can trust Him beyond life. Here, when the struggle is about death, Jesus gives us hope, not only for this life, but also beyond. That's why Paul says, if our faith in Christ is for this life only, of all people, we are most pitied people. Which means our faith in God, our faith in Jesus, is beyond this life. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. He who believes in me shall never die. Jesus said, as long as you are in this world, I am with you. And when you leave this world, you would be with me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'll come back and take you to be with me. And that is the hope. The hope in this life and hope in the life to come. And those who are in Christ, for us, we have passed already from death to life. Death is not ahead of us. Death is already behind us. We are passed from death to life, and we are looking for eternity, eternal life, to be ever with God. That's why Paul says, for me to live or to die is to be in Christ. I rather leave this body to be with the Lord. And that is the hope that we have when we put ourselves in the hands of God. And as very rightly we heard in the prayers, we are never disappointed when we put ourselves in the hands of God. Our lives are in the hands of God. And then he goes on to say how we should appreciate life. And he says, 7, go, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Enjoy your life. You know, when I was going to Jamaica, my senior priest in Bangalore wrote a letter to me. He simply started the word, started like this, enjoy life. Because you are in Jamaica, not that, you know, always enjoy life. Many times Christians means we don't have joy in us. We are with long face and serious. And in fact, about the Presbyterian church, it is being said, it's not God's chosen people, but God's frozen people. we are frozen sometimes within the church. I'm happy in this church because it's so relaxed and very free worship. We need to be joyful, happy. Happy are those whose trust is in God. So we need to be happy, especially young people. Enjoy life. But as the Word of God says, we are also judged by God, accountable. It is in that context, in that framework, enjoy. Enjoy not only the material things, enjoy the spiritual life. Relationship with God, spending time with God, reading the Word, singing. It's so nice to see young people in the church enjoying worship. Enjoy your life. And it talks about white dress and oil on your head. It's simply symbolic of purity. And again, anointing of the oil is a symbol of joy in your heart. So, we need to celebrate life. Life in all its fullness. And also, young people should enjoy. And when the time comes, you have to enjoy life with your wife. And that is very clear. It is a relationship, family unit. Not as the church is going nowadays with all controversies, neglecting or negating the family. Enjoy the life with the wife you are wedded to. So, it is a perspective for life. And then he goes on to speak about wisdom. In all these things, wisdom is very important. When we trust in God, God gives the wisdom. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is what we acquire, but wisdom is what comes from above. The Spirit of God, the wisdom of God. I can give a testimony myself. In all my life, especially now, I know that every morning I get up, I totally depend on the wisdom of God. In the words that we speak, or in our thoughts, in our actions, because problems are many, complicated, and we are dealing with people and issues, and it is only the wisdom of God that can help us in giving us the direction. And I strongly believe it is the wisdom of God which is giving me personally the direction, the spiritual direction. And I try to say this to my pastors and evangelists and all those in the diocese, that all of us should depend on the wisdom of God. And in the last illustration that he gives about the poor man who tries to save the city with wisdom, he was not recognized. Only to say that wisdom is not for our glory or for our recognition. It is for the glory of God. Ultimately, it is the wisdom of God for the glory of God. So, this is a struggle that you and I live with every day. But at the same time, to have a perspective about death. And as Christians, to have a perspective about life beyond death. New life, abundant life, everlasting life, eternal life. A life where we have left behind the death and look, live abundant life, live the fullness of life, and live eternal life in Christ. And even as long as we live in this world, enjoy your life. Enjoy it knowing that you are accountable. You are judged. And that you enjoy everything, including the presence of God. And with the presence of God, you enjoy everything else. And then depend on wisdom from above. And in all these things, we are blessed. And through this, we will be a blessing for others. God bless you.